A record 14 indigenous people ran for seats in Congress last night. Most of them were not successful. But Aaliyah Chavez, a reporter for Indian Country Today, says their campaign still made an impact. She spoke with Wyoming Public Radio's Savannah Marr first about three Native Democrats who failed to flip red congressional districts in our region.
One race I was watching closely was Democrat Paulette Jordan, who's Coeur d'Alene, running to unseat a Republican senator in deep red Idaho, and she was not successful last night. Was that the outcome that you were expecting?
You know, we were also watching that race very, very closely. And yes, I mean, Jim Risch has the name recognition, and Idaho's a really conservative state. You know, we were kind of going into the night being hopeful. And unfortunately, you know, it didn't work out in her favor last night. But I do think it speaks to the fact that she did gain so many votes. Like, I was looking at it this morning, and she was at about 285,000 votes in comparison to Jim, who had 533,000 votes. And I just think, you know, to even gain more than 200,000 votes is a big deal. And she should be really, really proud of the campaign that she ran.
And there were three other Native candidates running for House seats in the Mountain West who were not successful. Here in Wyoming, there was Lynette Grable, who's Northern Arapaho and Lakota. There was Shoshone Bannock tribal member Rudy Soto in Idaho, and Darren Perry of the Northwestern Band of the Shoshone Nation running in Utah. All Democrats running in red states, all newcomers during a pandemic trying to introduce themselves to voters. So really an uphill battle for all of those candidates.
Yeah, definitely. I think those candidates really said, I'm going to put my name in the hat. And they, all of them really gave it everything that they had. Something that was really interesting to me was in Wyoming, as you mentioned, Lynette Grable is believed to be the first Native person to ever run for federal office. For a Native person to be, you know, the first ever to just throw their name in and run, I think says a lot about Native people in politics, and in particular, Native people in politics in these deep red states. In other states, especially Rudy Soto, you know, he didn't win last night, but he outraised the Republican incumbent by, like, I think it was $25,000 in the last fundraising quarter. And so, you know, they didn't win the seat, but they won a lot of small battles on the campaign trail that I think are very interesting. Even though they didn't win the races, they actually did win a lot of important votes and fundraising goals and just advocacy and outpouring of support along the way.
Right. And these candidates have all in their campaigns raised issues that are important to Native people and that otherwise probably would have been ignored.
Definitely. I think this election cycle, we heard a lot about missing and murdered Indigenous women. On the campaign trail, I heard almost every single candidate, regardless of their political party, mention that issue as being something extremely important to tackle. These candidates have won their primaries, and therefore they oftentimes get to debate on state broadcasts, and at the very least, you know, them just being on that stage mentioning those issues just reaches so many other people in states that otherwise might not hear about these types of things.
Right. We saw that here in Wyoming when we had Lynette Grable debating Liz Cheney about things like treaty rights and the impact of the pandemic on tribal communities.
Yeah, that was a big the impact of the coronavirus on Native communities has been something that a lot of people have been vocal about. And earlier on, I think it was around August, I actually spoke to Representative Deb Holland, who was elected last night for a second term as well. And she said that the Native cohort of representatives, there's four of them currently, and there will be six in the next Congress. She said that the four of them were extremely integral in getting coronavirus relief funds to tribal nations. And that cohort is actually two Democrats and two Republicans. And she said that working with the Republicans was very, very helpful in sort of trying to gain Republican buy-in in that negotiation process. And so I imagine going into the next Congress, given that there will be six representatives who are Native American, well, who are Native, we should say, there is a Native Hawaiian in that mix, given that there are six. I imagine that that's only very helpful for Indian country and for Native communities.
So you mentioned the two victories for Native congressional candidates in the Mountain West. Both of those were in New Mexico. Deb Holland was reelected to represent New Mexico's first congressional district, which was not a surprise. And Republican Yvette Harrell, who's Cherokee, unseated a Democratic incumbent in New Mexico's second district. She campaigned as a far-right candidate. What can we expect from her in Congress?
Yeah, I think it'll be very interesting because on the campaign trail, she didn't speak out too much about Native issues or really her background. Like we oftentimes hear from other candidates like Deb Holland or Sharice Davids. And so I think that'll be interesting going into the next Congress to see how much she takes up Indian issues or maybe how vocal she is about Native issues.
So there are now six Native people in Congress. Ideologically, they run the gamut from a couple of far-right candidates to moderates from both parties. And then there's Holland, who's a progressive Democrat. How hopeful are you that they'll be able to work together and maybe even form a true Native American caucus?
I really think they will. I've talked to Representative Holland, who said that Tom Cole, who's a Republican representative from Oklahoma, she has said that he's helped her, that together they've been able to push legislation. I've also heard from Representative Sharice Davids that, you know, they've also worked together. And the other thing that she said that has stuck with me, she said that tribal sovereignty is not a partisan issue. She said that supporting tribal nations and indigenous people is something that people across the aisle can come together and sort of talk about. And so hopefully that translates into the next Congress as we have six congressional members serving.
And lastly, Aaliyah, what can we expect from Native candidates in 2022?
Oh my goodness. We should probably get ready now because 2020 just flew by. 2022 is going to be here in the blink of an eye. I think something that'll be really interesting to watch that came up in this campaign cycle was that a lot of young people were throwing their name in the hat. In Kansas, there was a 26-year-old Dene woman who won a seat to the Kansas State House, and she'll be the state's youngest sitting legislator. In California, there was another younger candidate. Her name was Jackie Fielder, who ran for the California State Legislature. She did not win, but she ran a really, really great campaign. I think in 2022, what we should see and what we can probably hope for is to see younger candidates throwing their name in the hat, specifically because this election cycle, I've seen so many people on social media encouraging others to vote, encouraging others to be politically active. And so maybe it may spur some young Native people to say, maybe I should run for office. So we'll see what happens in 2022 on that front.
Aaliyah Chavez, a reporter for Indian Country Today, speaking with Wyoming Public Radio's Savannah Marr.